Today on the podcast, I'm joined by former Syracuse basketball player Elijah Hughes. In just over 2 years as a pro, Elijah has been traded twice and released once. I talked with Elijah about the business side of pro basketball and where his career stands now. Well, welcome back to another edition of the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast. And this should be a fun one, folks. Today's guest is former Syracuse basketball player Elijah Hughes, who played with the Orange it just seems like it was yesterday, Elijah, but we'll get into that. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you? I'm real good. I'm happy to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I've been hoping to get you on here for a while, and we catch you here while you're in the middle of your G League schedule with the Wisconsin Herd. But yeah, it's like here you are in the pros. This is your third season in the pros, but it seems like it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
When you were here. But man, so much has gone on in your life.
It's been an eventful last 3-4 years.
You know, they say that, you know, college, the game is still a game. You're a college kid surrounded by, you know, students and teammates like that. But they say once you hit the NBA or hit pro ball, it becomes a business.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What's been like those one or two moments when the business side of pro basketball really hit you?
Just kind of the simple fact, like, if you're not necessarily playing well, you just get replaced. And that's simple. That's just the reality of it. And that's just the reality of any job. If you're not doing a good job at your job, you know, you can get fired. And that's just the reality of life. So it's kind of been like a different adjustment knowing that that's just how it is, but that's just how it is. And that's just how it's going to be.
Did you have to learn that on your own as like an NBA rookie or second year player? Or were there any like folks around you, whether they were veteran players or agents or whoever, that, you know, kind of guided you through that process?
I mean, that was the beauty of it. I went to Utah, pretty much a veteran team, a veteran organization. And I had a lot of guys in my ear just kind of, you know, encouraging me, telling me that they kind of been through the same situations and just rookie struggles, earlier struggles. And it was especially, you know, harder for 2020 because, you know, we didn't have nothing to work with. You know, the draft was in November and training camp was like 2 weeks later. So, you know, we didn't have really no summer leagues, no OTA, no type of real preparation to know what was coming. And, you know, it sucked, but it is what it is.
Yeah, your college career really ended on a horrible note there.
Absolutely, yeah.
In Greensboro for the ACC tournament in March of 2020, and then COVID hit, and the whole thing stopped. I mean,
yeah, man.
Let's go back to that a little bit.
That was rough. I still think about that every now and then. It's very annoying, very frustrating. Just knowing that, you know, we were playing our best basketball at that time as well. You know, we had a tough Louisville game scheduled for the next day. And to end how it ended, you know, it was just really, really, it just hurt really bad.
You know, a lot of coaches or players back then said, oh, we were just playing our best basketball of the year. But
yeah,
you guys really were. I mean, that the last game you played, you handed it to a really good North Carolina team.
Yeah, it was a fun game, you know, fun game to be a part of. You know, essentially a road game for us, home game for them. that environment. And, you know, Houston March, it's just special. Everyone knows it. It's really special, Houston March.
You know, besides the fact of how COVID shut down everything, you grew up in an area that got hit by COVID in the early stages of the pandemic.
Yeah.
That had to be pretty real for you while everybody else was worrying about games and tournaments.
Right. You know, for me, fortunately, you know, all my family was in good health. I was able to, you know, kind of maneuver my way through COVID along with my family and not lose anyone close to me. I know people who have. It was really just a tough time. You know, there's not much to cheer about and much to be happy about during COVID times because, you know, you felt bad for other people and their families and their situations. And it was just tough. It was just really, really tough. A lot of businesses closed down. Things just had to happen because it's to protect as many people as you can protect. And it just sucked. It was just not a good time.
Did that impact your decision to leave Syracuse at all, or had you already made up your mind to leave early?
To be honest, I wasn't thinking about, you know, anything pro NBA. Like, I was just kind of going with the flow. I was just happy to be playing good basketball. And, you know, when COVID hit, it kind of did hit me like, yo, it's we don't know how it's going to be next year. We don't know how college basketball as a whole. We don't know how school will be as a whole. So I just felt like the time was right, and I didn't kind of want to put my last season in jeopardy playing college when, you know, I just had a really good season, and I felt really good going into the draft. So it was a lot of decisions, a lot of thinking, a lot of decision making went into the decision. But ultimately, I'm happy with my decision, and I'm happy how things turned out.
Yeah, you got taken early in the second round that year.
Yeah.
The Pelicans made the pick,
Yep.
but you headed to Utah
Yep.
through a trade. What was Utah like for you? You spent about a year and a half there.
Right. I thought Utah was, it was awesome. Like, as much as I was upset and frustrated and mad that I wasn't playing, it was also a time for me to just sit back and kind of be a sponge, you know, take in the NBA game, how to play, how to be a pro, you know, how to take care of my body, how to do a little things just to be a long time pro in this league. I got to learn. I was on a team with what, three All-Stars, Defense Player of the Year, Sixth Man Player of the Year, runner up Sixth Man Player of the Year. Bojan Bogdanović is almost 50-40-90 on his career. So I just had a lot of guys to lean on and just watch and kind of learn from. So it was special. That was, I didn't take that for granted. There were just good bets. I had a lot of really, really solid good bets. And I was able to just learn, like learn how to really play the game of basketball.
About halfway through your second year, though, you get traded to Portland.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea that that a trade was in the works? Any advance notice?
Yeah, I mean, I knew a trade was pending. There was a few teams that me and my agent had talked about that were kind of in the mix during trade talks, during the deadline. And Portland kind of came a little later. So when I found out it was Portland, it was kind of just like, wow, we're going to Portland. I was excited. I didn't really know much about the organization, what they were doing, Dame's health. I kind of just went in there, but, you know, ready to expect whatever. And I actually got a good opportunity there. But then going back to my point earlier, you know, the business of it is, when you're not playing well or you're not working well, then you get fired. And that's just the reality of it. And that's what happened. And I have no shame in admitting that. And I'm glad it's behind me. I'm glad I'm able to learn and move forward from it.
Portland did play you in the
Yeah.
last set. You got
Yeah.
in like 22 games or something like that for
Yeah.
them. Was that
It was a.
hard playing like that when you were with a new team and you hadn't been playing much in Utah?
Right. At first, you know, it was kind of just kind of reshifting my focus on, you know, I can't do the same thing I was doing in Utah. You know, I could be preparing to play 20 minutes tonight. And that was just kind of the focus I had to take with me in adjusting. But it was an adjustment. And it was, you know, it was, I was happy. It was a good adjustment because I was happy I got to, you know, get on the floor, get some experience, get a few games under my belt and some real NBA like minutes. So it was really, really good for my development and seeing where I'm at.
Let's put this in perspective for some of the folks listening out there. You're basically 22 years old and being traded. I mean, welcome to the real world, kid, right?
It was pretty wild. Like, middle of the week trade. It was, I found out when I was leaving shoot around during when I was with in Utah with the Jazz. I was walking out the door, leaving shoot around, and I got the call. And then as I was getting to my car, I started to drive off and go back home, and like, phone started going crazy. It just was getting out of hand. And I got to my apartment, and I kind of just called my agent, like, what do I do next? And now what? Because I think the Blazers were playing that night, and the plan was to try to get me out there that night for that game. But that didn't work. That didn't work out, and so I was able to fly out the next day and play in the game on Friday.
You said after the shoot around ended, you got the call. Who
Yeah.
called you?
It was my agent originally, but
Okay.
while my agent was on the phone with me, the GM was actually calling me as well. So it was kind of just a mixture of both. And I talked to both in a really good conversation.
Was it the Utah Jazz GM calls you and
Yes.
gives you the old, Elijah, we really like you. We think you're a good player, but we're making a change.
Right. I mean, I can't. Justin Zanuck is a good dude. He was very honest with me from the jump. And we were able to just have a really good conversation, business-like. But he was real honest and upfront about what he felt and what he thought was best, and that was that. And so I still root for him. He's a really good guy.
Yeah, I find the whole, the business side of the NBA ball so interesting because I've never
Right.
dealt with it before. I've covered college athletics my entire professional life. It does add a real business side element to a game.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I want to get into more with it here with you. So when you finished up last season with Portland, what did you think was going to happen? What did you expect your future was going to be?
I was just kind of letting my agent handle all that. I kind of knew right away that I wouldn't be re-signed to the Blazers, and I would be a free agent going into the summer. Just knowing that, just kind of looking at, taking accountability and looking at it how it was from my eyes, I just knew kind of I didn't do enough, or I didn't play well, or I just kind of figured that. So I kind of knew going into the summer what the summer could mean and how I just wanted to approach the summer and just be super locked in.
You weren't able to play summer league ball because you weren't signed by anybody, right? That's kind of a catch. Yeah, that's a tough situation. That's like a catch 22. I want to go play and show some folks how good I am, but I can't go play summer league ball because I'm still a free agent.
I mean, that's just how it
What did you
works.
do all summer then? What are your options?
I just kind of stayed in the gym. Stayed in the gym, was in contact with my agent, was in contact with a few teams. And I was letting that kind of stuff plan out for itself. I wasn't in a rush or anything. I was just kind of taking it day by day, focusing on myself, focusing on my body, just taking care of myself, mentally, physically, however way possible, just to get ready for whatever is next. And that opportunity presented itself with Wisconsin Herd. So I just took it, and now I'm here.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Herd, the G League affiliate of the Milwaukee Bucks. I know you ended up signing with them. I'm imagining there were other possibilities out there before you did. I mean, were there European teams calling?
I didn't kind of think about that yet, taking into perspective yet. I was kind of just staying in the moment, and I'm still trying to figure my way out. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. I'm not saying that it's a last resort, but this basketball in America is just a little better for me, for what I got going on. So I would like to be here as long as I can, just expand as much as I can and learn as much as I can. So I'm just taking everything day by day, and I don't really think about what I could have or should have done or what was there. I'm just happy with all my decisions I make.
So what's life been like for you in the G League with the Wisconsin Herd?
It's been fun. I can't lie. Like, I'm playing. I've had a good little stretch here where I'm playing some good ball. It's just an opportunity for me to kind of rekindle that love after, my first 2 years, just a disappointment for myself, in my opinion. So just kind of rekindle that love, compete at a high level, and just play. Like, over, I just I'm happy I'm playing basketball again. So I'm just happy. I'm happy.
Now, if the stats I saw this morning before this podcast, are if the stats are correct, you are playing. I read you're playing like 33 minutes a game and scoring a little over 16 points a game. Those are both good numbers. You're scoring and playing.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to kind of, stack some wins together, put some wins together as a team. And that's really been my main focus, is trying to, stack a lot of wins and win as many games as possible.
How does the relationship between the G League affiliate and the parent team, like the Bucks, and the players that are in the G League, how does that relationship all work? Or how does it work between Milwaukee and the Herd?
What do you mean, how does it work?
I mean, do you hear from people with the NBA team? I mean, will a assistant GM or a GM, do they check in with you, or does the G League affiliate basically operate under its own umbrella?
It's kind of a little bit of both. Teams usually talk to my agent, first and foremost. I'm not kind of the guy that teams would come to with so on and so forth. I let my agent handle kind of all that information and all that stuff. So again, I don't worry about those stuff. I just, again, I'm happy to be playing basketball, and I'm happy that, I'm getting opportunity here. That's all I'm focused on.
Workouts and practices take place just with the team, the guys on that G League team. Do you work out with the Bucks at all?
Sometimes we'll have like joint workouts, trying to get guys back, healthy, playing pickup with them before they step on an NBA court, just trying to make sure they're good and make sure they're ready to go. And it's a respect, that we come in there, and we're professionals as well. We go in there, we help when we can, we do what we can, and get our work in, and that's that. And it's the respect between, both organizations.
How's the shot?
It's good. It's solid. I'm making a few shots lately. Seeing the ball going, it's been really feeling really good because I was struggling earlier this season, not making a lot of shots as I wanted to. So it feels good. The ball feels great. I'm playing a lot of confidence right now.
You know, it was a shame. We were talking about your schedule before we set this up, and on the Monday night, the most recent Monday night, the Herd was actually playing the Long Island Nets. And I tell you what, if that game had just been played the day before or the day after, you could have been up here in Syracuse watching the Orange
Yeah,
play
man.
Virginia,
Absolutely.
because you were probably about the closest swing you'll have to Syracuse is playing
Right.
the right. So,
Yeah.
do you get a chance to watch Syracuse much?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, with the schedule of the G League and just things I got going on myself, I try to, as much as I can, when I play on TV or wherever they are, wherever I can watch, I try to tune in and watch those guys support as much as I can. And like that place is home. So whenever I get a chance to watch those guys, I feel like I'm watching like little brothers, little cousins, and stuff like that. So it's really special that, that's the Syracuse family.
All right, so if you've seen him a few times, what are your thoughts on this year's team?
Just young, inexperienced, a team that's going to have growing pains. But there's a lot of bright spots. Malik Brown has impressed me a lot. I've been impressed with him since the summertime, though. I was really impressed with him, how he can guard, use his length, impact his winning basketball, making winning plays. Judah, lightning quick, somebody that a lot of bright spots, a lot of bright spots in Judah. And everyone brings some value to this team, but it's just about getting more experience, more games under their belt. They got a great coaching staff behind them, so they're going to figure it out. I'm very confident in this group.
You know, your last year at Syracuse, Jesse Edwards was a freshman. I was wondering what your thoughts were on seeing him now, 3 years later as a senior.
Jesse's his just progression has just been unbelievable. My freshman year, I'll be honest with you, Mike, I thought he was terrible. I thought he was a terrible player. I was just not happy with him a lot of the times. But to see his progression, see, he was in Coach Bayham's doghouse for a long time, and he was always kind of the guy that coach would pick on, and that's just how it was at times for him. But he stayed down, kept his head down, stayed in the gym, and he just progressively just kept getting better. So a lot of respect for that kid. I'm really happy for him and I'm proud of him. He deserves all the attention.
Jesse did had to take a few years before he got to where he
Yeah.
is now. You're right.
And that's why
Now,
I'm not overreacting about this group. Just give them a few years, give them a few games under their belt. They're going to be just fine.
the other senior on this year's team, who was also a freshman in your last year, now he's a little different kind of career arc, Joe Girard. But still, I was wondering, what your memories were of Joe as a freshman, and then maybe what you think of him now.
Joe is just like a little feisty competitor. He's just a super competitive. He wants to win. And sometimes, people confuse that with him just being, selfish, but he just really wants to win and in whatever way he knows. So I really always respected Joe's game. He always came with the attitude, working hard. So, he's somebody who's had a really good Syracuse career his 4 years. And he's been to the tournament, and he's played really, really well his career. So I'm really proud of him, happy for him as well. Again, like a little brother, little cousin. I feel like with those guys, Jesse and Joe, even Buddy, those guys. So I feel like they're like little brothers I had, and to see them kind of grow has been really special.
Speaking of Buddy, he also is in the G League with the Motor City Crews. Have you crossed paths with him in the G League?
So we played the Motor City Crews 5 times already. So this far this season, 5 times. And every time we played against each other. And this has been really cool to just see, what he does at this level. Unathletic, like still pretty unathletic, but get his shot off and get where he needs to get to in the court. He plays with an edge. He has a Bayhound on the back of his jersey, so he has to prove himself a lot than the average person. So he comes with an edge. He's very competitive and just a really overall just a good person.
I was wondering if Buddy's unathletic. I was like, but do you ever like warn a teammate, hey, listen, don't let him get open. And then he gets open and you run back down court and you look at your teammate going, I tried to tell you. He's
We had a few of those instances so far. His first, I think his second game, we played him here in Wisconsin. He lit us up. And it was just like every time he caught the ball, and I was just like, you know, because you know it's gonna go up, and you know it's pure. And you know when he gets going, those balls, he gets hot, he gets real hot. So, you know, knowing that he's able to get going like that, he's just a really special player.
So what do you have to do to get back to the NBA?
I think really it's more so mental for me. Stay in the moment, stay present. Nothing else matters. And again, the end goal is always being the NBA. We all play in the NBA, but playing basketball after high school is an accomplishment. Playing basketball after college is an accomplishment. And just kind of staying where my feet are and understanding the privilege I have is kind of my focus in it, and just being here in the moment. That's all I've been worried about. So, of course, the dream is to get there, but the, you know, whatever steps it takes, I'm gonna enjoy the process as well.
Well, Elijah, we'd all love to see you back in the NBA sooner rather than later. And we wish you all the luck in the world in getting there. But in the meantime, we'll continue to track your progress with the Wisconsin Herd. Good luck to you for the rest of the season. And thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast.
Absolutely, Mike. Appreciate it, bro.
I want to thank Elijah for joining me on the podcast today. And thanks to you out there as well for listening in. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast. And follow all of our complete coverage of Syracuse basketball on Syracuse.com. Until next time on the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast, I'm Mike Waters.